We're learning the Sefer Amidot. We're up to page Tzadivav, the paragraph in the middle of the page. And the Magid Midubna had begun with a medrash that describes that everything God created needs the human being's intervention to perfect it. You can't eat raw wheat. You have to grind it, make it into flour, make it into bread. You can't eat raw beans. You have to cook them. And how much more so if there are things that we make that they still need a finishing touch. And when people try to put together a society, so the laws they put together need a finishing touch. As much as people try to put together a series of laws, new questions always arise and require new thought and finishing touches and some more thought and some more explanation. And sometimes you'll even ask the guy who wrote the law, how did you mean this law should be applied in this scenario? And he himself will say, I'm not sure how it should be applied in such and such a case. Now, look at the Torah. Hashem gave us a Torah, which our whole life revolves around. And the topics of the Torah are beyond our understanding. Go ask a person, why don't you eat this bird or this fish? Why don't you eat this vermin? Or why does the Torah say these things are defiled? Why does the Torah tell us that you're not allowed to covet, you're not allowed to take revenge, you're not allowed to maintain enmity, the awe of Hashem, the love of Hashem, chametz, so many topics that we know the depths of the topics are beyond us. And although the depths of the Torah are beyond us, the Torah was given to each and every person. We don't say the Torah is just for the elders, for the judges, for the lawyers, no. The Torah is for the old and the young, the healthy and the sick, the poor and the rich, the young and the old, the priest and the prophet, and it's eternal. And every person has to learn the Torah. Now, undoubtedly, as times change and as different people approach the Torah, so there's going to be a lot of room for doubt. And nonetheless, Hashem gave us a system. And this system is a brilliant system with details. Sometimes you have millions of details and you don't have too much source material for all those details. Look at the laws of Shabbos. You have a whole tractate Shabbos and Erevin, and we derive all these details from our tradition, from the Torah that we were given. But at the end of the day, you look at the Torah doesn't talk about details of Shabbos. They're tradition and they are derivations. So on the one hand, you see that when a human being tries to put together a legal system, so then there's endless room for doubt, and there's always room for perfection. Then God gives us a Torah, a perfect Torah, and that Torah is not given to the top brass, but rather given to everyone, and yet the Torah has the answers, and we keep asking, and the Torah keeps answering. V'henze ed mishachak ne'man ki lo mibnei adami. And he says, this in itself is testimonial that this is not a human thing, the book of the Torah. Lo ma'aseh enosh v'tachbulotav. This isn't some human being who was able to concoct something like this. Ki mikubelet misinai, but rather it is a tradition from Sinai, from the one who revealed himself at Sinai. Klalea ufratea, the generalizations and the details. Mipi ha'mashgiach ha'elyon ve'ino al yireyav, from the one above who is watching our actions, and his eye is to those that fear him. La'ishir lefaninu magiloteinu, he gave us the Torah to give us a straight path. And the ones who compiled the Mishnah and the Talmud did so with heavenly inspiration, what we call Ruach HaKodesh, so that they succeed in their paths. If one has a doubt in an area of Torah, he goes to a rabbi, he goes to a chacham, he goes to a sage, and he finds out what he's seeking. Ki gdolim niflaim bracha untivotea. For the ways, the paths of the Torah are great and amazing. Ki kasher tashkif b'torah teora. For when you look at the pure Torah, tireh ki echina v'gam chakara kol oven min ofanim v'tzad min atzadim. You'll see that the Torah already discussed every angle that might come up. Gam shiyah rachok min arachok. Even if it seems like something that's pretty far-fetched that it should ever happen. Like the Talmud, for example, you have a Mishnah that discusses, what happens if a dog eats the volume of an olive of a corpse? So the volume of an olive of a corpse is tameh. It has spiritual defilement. Now, we say that when an animal eats something, at some point it becomes part of the animal. It no longer defiles anything. But what happens? Umet hakelev. And then the dog dies right after eating it. Umutal alai skufa. And then the dog is lying exactly on the boundary of the house, on the doorstep of the house. Now, is the house defiled or not defiled? And what part of the dog's body do we say that kizayis, that volume of an olive is sitting? So you'll ask me, how often does a dog eat an olive's worth of a dead body? And how often does he die before digesting that? The Mishnah even discusses what happens if an animal swallows a needle that was defiled, and then it comes out in its feces. So what about during the time it's in its body? Is it defiled? Is it not defiled? When it comes out, is it defiled? Is it not defiled? The Talmud discusses, do we assume that an animal that swallowed a needle and came out in its feces, that needle punctured its lungs or not? Do we assume that that animal is now ill or not? The Talmud goes into all kinds of details where you'd ask yourself, how often did this happen? Why was that so important to the rabbis? The answer is, when you're trying to understand everything, so then you go down to the greatest detail and you say, okay, this is the tradition we have on this detail. You'll ask me, how often does that happen? Well, you'd be surprised that the question of a dog's digestive system has halachic implications till today when we try to understand a person has to go to mikveh. Oh, a ger has to go to mikveh. A guy wants to go to mikveh. Let's say he has an operation. Let's say he has something in his ear, in his canal. At what point does it become a part of the body? And at what point do we say it gets in the way of the water? And then he wouldn't be able to have a kosher tefillah in the mikveh. Okay, it's a legitimate question. A guy has surgery. Sometimes they won't let him go into a bath. They won't let him go into mikveh waters. They won't let him get that part of his body wet. When do we say that something's internal enough so that it becomes a part of the body, and when not? So here you have a practical application today. We have all kinds of situations. Let's take a simple example without a complicated operation. A person has a root canal. So they put a temporary filling. Is that temporary filling considered something that's standing in the way of the water? The whole body must be in the water. So even though we don't expect the water to enter the mouth, the water doesn't have to really fill the mouth, but it has to have capacity to fill the mouth. Meaning if a person just ate chewy, a Laffy Taffy, he ate some kind of chewy, something chewy, and it stuck all over his mouth. So peanut chew, okay? So now, even though the water doesn't have to enter the mouth, being that it doesn't have capacity to really enter the whole mouth, his tefillah is not kosher. His tefillah as a ger is not kosher, or a woman who has to go to mikveh, that's not kosher. So we say, clean out your mouth, and clean out your hair, and clean out everything, even though the water doesn't have to enter the mouth. Now a guy has a temporary filling. How do you view that temporary filling? Is that a part of the body, or is it not a part of the body? We know that permanent fillings, again, we have a source in the Talmud. Long before they had fillings for teeth, the Talmud was discussing when does something become a part of the body and when not. So you'd ask the rabbis of the Talmud, how often is this going to happen, that someone puts something onto his body and it stays there and he wants it to stay there forever? In their days, I don't know if they had such a thing. In our days, we have such things all the time. A guy has a fool's eye, doesn't take it out, stays in. A guy has a filling in his teeth, it stays in, doesn't take it out. People have hair implants today, stays in, doesn't come out, right? So we have all kinds of things today that we put into our bodies and they stay in. The Talmud discussed it, and that's the brilliance of the Talmud. That's what he's saying, that the Torah was given to us in a manner that encompasses the details so that even though future generations are going to have questions, all you have to do is, if you have enough knowledge, you could go back to the sources that were given to us and deal with any question that comes up. As we discussed on Friday, the whole concept of cloning. There are many questions that come up today that they didn't have ages ago. And yet, somehow, the Talmud discussed it. The Talmud discussed being able to transfer a baby from one to another. The in vitro fertilization. The Talmud discussed the concept of a woman being impregnated without living with her husband. What we might call our artificial insemination. The Talmud had their way of discussing it. But it was discussed. How come? Because when you're dealing with the tradition of the ultimate truth, then every detail matters. And he says this in and of itself is testimonial to the brilliance, to the godliness of the Torah. Sukkah Lailan, the Talmud discusses if someone built his sukkah on a tree, v'ala beimar, on an animal, v'chadome inyanim l'alafim ulirbo'ot. You have thousands and tens of thousands of cases throughout the Talmud, gam arachokim b'mtziyut, even things that seem to be pretty far-fetched. And in his day, they were still far-fetched. Today, they become more real. You know, the Talmud discusses an airplane. The Talmud discusses a flying box. They didn't have an airplane. And yet the Talmud discusses it. So you'll say, well, what were they discussing it for? Ah, now we know what they were discussing it for. Because today when we have an airplane flying over a graveyard, so then the Talmud's discussion of things floating over a graveyard, whether the defilement of the graveyard could shoot up and make it defiled, now suddenly it becomes very relevant. You have all kinds of things that we're equipped to deal with today because they were discussed. He says, our holy Torah is going to be there for us forever. In every time in history. And wherever you live. And for every man and woman. You know how many times the Talmud discusses in androgynous? Androgynous, how do you say it in English? Androgynous, yeah. How often is that? How common is that? And yet it's discussed. You have almost every tractate a discussion. How do we apply the halachas to an androgynous? Okay.
Like hermaphrodite.
Right. That's it. Right. Because when you're covering Torah, you got to cover every detail and every nuance. V'chulam shkulim b'feles ha'chokhma. And all of them are equal when it comes to the scale of wisdom. U'mosnei mishpat ha'Torah. And in the justice of the Torah, the written Torah, the oral Torah, as our sages said, there's nothing that hasn't been alluded to in the Torah. You just have to be smart enough to find it. But there isn't anything that you won't find an allusion to in the Torah. And we'll pick up here. Should we take another 10 minutes and finish the chapter? Yes? No? Maybe? What do you say? Maybe?
Can.
Okay. When you take a look at the words of the prophets, you'll also see amazing new things. Even though they were talking about a specific nation or a specific person at a specific time in history, they were careful with their words so that it could be understood from the depths of their allegories, so that their allegories could be applied, they were said in a way that would be beneficial in all times and in all places. As our sages said, keep turning over the Torah. Look at it from this angle, look at it from that angle. Keep tossing it around, because everything you're looking for is there. You just have to find it. And as the verse says in Mishle, in the beginning of Proverbs, one has to learn to understand the allegories, the mishalim, the mlitza of the wise men and their riddles. The pious king, King David, peace be upon him, he laid the foundation of the work of Tehillim, of Psalms. Every broken heart can find his bandage there. To the point where there's no request in the world, from requests that come up, that you can't find a place of comfort for your soul, and you'll be able to find a similar situation, a similar request in the book of Tehillim. You'll never find yourself in a situation in life that's not addressed in the book of Tehillim. It's as though your heart is saying these words. You'll find King David in the book of Tehillim put together 150 chapters where he's encompassed any situation a person will find himself in. And suddenly you'll find your mouth and tongue spelling out the requests that have already been arranged. as though it were you talking, as though it was your problem he was talking about. Shlomo HaMelech Alav HaShalom Tiken Sifrei Chochma Musar. King Solomon, peace be upon him, he prepared works of wisdom and works on how to be a better person, on self-improvement. In his works, you could find a cure, you could find a solution for all of humanity's ills, all of the vices that humanity contends with. A stubborn person, a crooked person, someone who's veered off the intelligent path, someone who's an alcoholic, someone who's a cheat and a swindler, and you'll find many tremendous examples like these throughout the works of the prophets. You'll find that they talk to every generation in their brilliance, in their godliness. They are applicable to every person at every time in every place. That's what we say in the morning when we say the words our Torah of Torah are emet v'yatziv v'nachon. What does it mean v'nachon? Lemo, what we mean to say is ki nechonim ibeod yom atzot vadat el kol doresh umvakesh. They are prepared. They're just sitting there waiting for you. They're prepared before you have the problem. The words of Torah are there before we need them. V'nachon, and it's being prepared. The Torah is there for us before we even know that we need it. Ata Hashem erinenu, and he concludes the chapter with a request. Hashem, lighten up our eyes. Lirot batov atzafun b'toratcha, to see the good that's hidden in your Torah. V'nabit haniflaot b'toar imratecha, and we'll see amazing things in the pure sayings that you gave us, the pure Torah, the pure Tanakh that you gave us.